Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway. Don't forget we do this each weekday on the Big X. It starts at 11 o'clock. Often, most days, you can catch the replay at 3 p.m. And we're always available on podcast, on SoundCloud, and also Apple Podcast as well. So if you miss a show or a segment or you want to go back and hear something again, or you've got a favorite guest that joins us every week, and you want to hear it again, you can go back and do so on either one of those podcast platforms. Pretty easy to access both of those ways. But no matter how you're listening, we're glad you're with us today. It was a long night last night at the ballpark. We had two district championship games. Both were really good games. The first game, the 10-year-old championship, Jeff GRC really looked all but beat. They were down 5-1 heading into the sixth inning, which is regulation for that level of Little League Baseball, and they came back to win it 8-6 when it was all said and done and finished district play 6-0 to move on to the 10-year-old state tournament representing this area. Then, in the second game last night, Silver Creek ended New Albany's 5-year streak as 12-year-old district champions. In fact, the team they beat last night had won the state championship as 11-year-olds and also the year before as 10-year-olds, and they will go on to the state tournament to represent the 12-year-old division. Those were the two games we had broadcast. Silver Creek went on to win the contest last night by a 7-2 victory. Ace pitcher Preston Burton, he was the star of the game for Silver Creek. And when he's on the mound at the state level, of course, there's pitch counts and pitching requirements and that sort of thing, so he can't pitch every game all game. But when he's on the mound, he's going to be really tough for Silver Creek to be beaten at the state level in Greenwood coming up here in just over a week. So a lot of action last night. Also, 11-year-old baseball championship game was played last night in Little League Baseball. New Albany won that division in a big way, a 15-1 bulge over Highlander Youth Recreation. But most importantly, last night was fun to be at. It was fun to broadcast. We love doing stuff that's a little off the beaten path that we think's good for Southern Indiana, for the local sports scene, even the youth sports scene. But it was really cool as we're up there in the press box and moving from field to field to see just a tremendous crowd pack in. The 10-year-old game had a great crowd. The 12-year-old game had an amazing crowd. The park was absolutely packed. In fact, one of the main walkways in between two of the fields where there were games going last night, you really couldn't even get through. I mean, if there had been an emergency or something, literally it was that tight. So neat to see, and again, probably only in Southern Indiana do you see people really rally around something like that. So I talk about it a lot. I'm sure some of you are burned out about hearing, you know, what I think about our local sports scene and how great it is, but just another example last night of how special things are here in the area. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for this Tuesday, July 9th edition of the Hoosier Report. It's powered by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got a number of Hoosier headlines that we'll cover here in just a few moments. To get things rolling, we'll take a look at a schedule edition in the non-conference schedule we learned about earlier this morning for the IU basketball schedule. Also, a little off-season fun yesterday. We kind of follow this the social media stuff even more so in the off-season. Trace Jackson Davis was the featured player yesterday. We'll talk some about that from IU men's basketball. The Celtics, without Romeo Langford in the summer, get another win last night out in Las Vegas. The coaches, the D1 coaches, are heading into a big evaluation period. This is really the only weekend in July coming up that will feel like normal, with the normal stuff, the shoe companies have their finales. The Nike Peach Jam is this weekend. The Adidas finale of their gauntlet is this weekend. This is, you know, par for the course. It's one of the big weekends for many, many years for coaches to get out and evaluate players. There'll be some awesome scenes and some awesome settings for some of these games to be played in various places. Most of it's down south, at least the major stuff this weekend. But after that, it's no more SHU stuff or AAU stuff. It's the NCAA Academy-type camps that are going to be held on college campuses. So that will completely change the back end of the month, but this will be the one weekend that resembles, at least for coaches, what the recruiting period normally has been like. So we'll talk about that some today. Priority lists for Indiana recruiting as Archie Miller and his staff hit the road. Also, and later we'll talk with Mike Pegram, but, you know, with Ed Schilling gone, Indiana can bump someone up into that role. Derek Elston might be an obvious choice to do so on a temporary basis, so Indiana can have another coach on the road this weekend and not just have Ostrom out as well with the other coaches. So we'll be interesting to see if Mike knows that. I'm not sure if anyone, maybe we won't know until someone sees the person on the road wearing an IU shirt, but I would think that someone on the staff, a non-coaching role, would be bumped up to be able to get out and travel this weekend and help cover some of the coverage that the coaches would like to make and be seen at for some of the games in this live recruiting period. So we'll talk about all that and more coming up in our headline segment. Then later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, sports columnist with the Star. He's always with us on Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. And then later in the show, I mentioned Mike Pegram, Peaks.com will be with us. We'll talk, obviously, a lot of IU basketball recruiting heading into such a big weekend here in July for the coaches to be back out on the road. Okay, that's the lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Indiana's non-conference schedule for the 2019-2020 season, still not really released, but it's really beginning to take good shape. I think we can put together most of it. If we had to go ahead and type out a schedule for this year with dates and locations and opponents, it's not 100% just yet, but Portland State will play Indiana on Saturday, November 9th. Obviously, that is a game at IU, at Assembly Hall, no question about that. Indiana, according to Alex Bozich, a story he wrote about the addition of IU-Portland State earlier, Indiana will pay Portland State $90,000 to come to Bloomington, which is not unreasonable. It's not out of line. They call them money games for a reason when low to mid-major teams go on the road, travel, play at a place like IU, play at a bigger school where they're the heavy, heavy underdog. There's a reason they're going. Yeah, they want the experience. It's neat for the kids. They get to play in front of a great crowd and at a neat place like Assembly Hall with tradition, but they also get a payday, which many times helps fund some of the low to mid-major Division I teams. In fact, remember when Mike Davis was at Texas Southern, I think, he was even on our show that year. His team had been in the midst of, like, I want to say like 7, 8, 9 road games in a row, all of them for the most part money games. They were playing bigger schools, not all high major schools, but bigger schools where there was some sort of pay involved. And essentially that's how Coach Davis and Texas Southern were funding the men's basketball program, a low-budget, you know, athletic department, Division I school. Their conference games were fairly close and within reason traveling distance, but to get out, travel, to get paid, to the school to get paid, to take on a really tough schedule. His record wasn't always great during those years, but he got some things accomplished, and most importantly for his program, was able to raise some money that really helped them do some neat stuff. Eat, I remember he talked about being able to take them out to nicer places than what the school would typically, you know, want to pay for. So you see that happen pretty often. Portland State, specifically, they're a member of the Big Sky Conference, and they finished with an even 16-16 record in the 2018-19 college basketball season. All right, also, let's take a look at a couple other headlines. In the offseason, things are slower. We always talk and pay a little bit more attention about IU social media and Cliff Marshall, obviously, the strength and conditioning boss at IU. They put out both of those accounts updates to kind of help you in the off season know what's going on and get to hear or see what the players are up to. And kind of a neat little series, fun facts with some of the different players. Trace Jackson Davis was on camera yesterday for about a minute clip where they go through some interesting things about Trace. So if you haven't seen that, might be a little bit of off-season help to help cover some of the slower months when you wish that the college basketball season was a lot closer than what it was. Also from Las Vegas, Boston Celtics now 2-0 with a win over the Cavaliers last night. So the Celtics, the young Celtics, some of the draft class and other players on the roster are playing well and looking good out in Las Vegas. In fact, I saw someone mention that maybe they were a favorite to win the Summer League tournament, which begins here later this week. Of course, Romeo Langford still not in action for the Celtics. He is in Las Vegas. We were told yesterday by Tom Westerholm of Mass Live, who joined us for a great conversation about Romeo, his addition to the Celtics. He was from Vegas when he talked with us. You know, Carson Edwards has been playing really well for the Boston team, as has the big man, what is he, 7'2", 7'3", Taco Fall, who played at the University of Central Florida. Carson Edwards with 14 points yesterday, one of the key scorers for the Celtics team. I think there were four players in double figures. Edwards had 14 and Taco Fall had 12. So looking good are the Celtics, at least the younger guys and the rookies, even without Romeo Langford in the Summer League out in Las Vegas. So again, Romeo, I don't think anybody at this point expects him to play or to join the roster. He is out there with the team. They do still practice, we're told, in the summer once the games begin. In fact, there was a clip of him shooting Saturday, maybe, once they had been in Vegas, and it looked really like they were at a high school gym. So I'm assuming that they have to go to other places to practice outside of the UNLV facilities and the Vegas facilities where the Summer League has played. Probably just high school gyms that they're able to get to and practice while they're out there to continue development, and Romeo obviously taking advantage of that with some shooting opportunities there. Also, I mentioned that coaches are on the road this weekend. You can expect to see IU coaches at the Nike Peach Jam, which is always in Augusta. You can also expect to see coaches at some point at the Adidas event, which I think is in Alabama, maybe Birmingham this week, and then maybe at the Under Armour event as well, and perhaps elsewhere. But those will be the three main events, especially the Peach Jam, where you will see college coaches absolutely loaded in those facilities to watch a lot of great players. And this evaluation period is important. You know, I think, I guess my opinion is that coaches, when they used to be all month in July, literally the evaluation period was the whole month of July at one point. Then they cut it to two long periods, like two 14-day periods in July, and then eventually cut it down to three 4-day periods in July. And, of course, that's completely changed now. There are two periods, one this weekend for tournaments, one later in the month for NCAA camps, and then the high school stuff was moved to June. But, you know, I always had the feeling back years ago when I was around this stuff working for Eddie Ford and other people at some of these tournaments that, you know, it must be fun to travel and watch basketball. I'm sure it gets a little old being on the road, especially when you're on the road for a month like it used to be. But there was a lot of camaraderie that went on with these guys. Hey, we're going to go here after the games tonight. Hey, I'll see you at that game. We're recruiting that guy as well. And there was a lot of talk going on among college coaches. Even the head coaches would buddy up and talk, and, you know, a lot of jokes and things like that as they watched players and evaluated players and that sort of thing. I get the feeling that this year there may not be a lot of talking. There may not be a lot of time for the chitter-chatter and some of the off-the-court things that normally take place during the recruiting period, some of the networking, some of the camaraderie for the coaches, because this is their only opportunity to see really high-level basketball where these EYBL and Under Armour and Adidas teams that have been playing together all spring and summer now will be back together with coaches allowed in the gym. I think you'll see a lot of concentration
on what's going on the floor. And again, some of this at this point, especially with the 2020 class of guys that are going to be seniors, it's about showing up. It's about making your presence known. It's about being under the basket, being courtside with the head coach, letting him know that you're a big target of ours and IU really wants you. And so therefore, Archie Miller himself, we're not even going to send an assistant coach to the game. Archie Miller himself is going to sit right on the sideline and make sure you see his IU apparel and that he really wants you and that he's really focused on watching you. That's what a lot of this is. But for the younger classes, and in some cases for the older, you know, the seniors to be, teams have needs. They're still trying to figure out exactly who they're going to recruit or exactly how they're going to fill the point guard need they might have or a big man need they might have. So there really is, especially at stuff like this, some discovery that goes on in addition to the continuing of recruiting for key targets as well. So it's an important weekend. It's going to be, I'd say, a lot more concentration and focus just because this is it. There isn't all month. There isn't three periods of what's going to happen this weekend. This is it, and this is the big one. This is where the good teams are all assembled in great facilities with a lot of courts right there where coaches can easily navigate things without having to spend a lot of time on the road driving back and forth between high school gyms. Every one of these tournaments is at, I mean, just absolutely beautiful basketball facilities. Nice stuff. 5, 6, 7, 8 courts in one facility. So you get there, you walk in, you pay admission. If you're a coach, even a fan, and you're there, you can navigate from court to court, and really every court's going to have multiple, you know, high major Division I players. So we'll talk more about this with Mike when he joins us a little bit later. But it's obviously a really big weekend, especially this year with the format for the Division I coaches, for Archie Miller, and for the IU staff as well. That's the headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. I want to remind you, we're back tonight at the Little League Park at Jeff GRC for a District 5 softball championship game in the 12-year-old major softball division. Floyd's Knobs, a big favorite. They could make a run deep to the state tournament and even beyond in the regional tournament, maybe the World Series, who knows. But first, they've got to take on Charlestown tonight in the District 5 championship game. We'll have that game for you a little bit before 8 p.m. tonight. That'll be our final District 5 broadcast for the 2019 season before we head out to some state tournament games coming up later in the month. We'll head to a break. We'll call Greg Doyle, get him on the line of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. He'll be with us in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
What's one missing for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here?
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that the weather has changed, it's awful hot out there. Don't forget, you can get all of your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice. Greg, this is really a slow time. It's the one point of the summer here over the next few weeks where we're a little far from football and way far from the college and professional basketball seasons. But a few things to keep us going. Coaches will be on the recruiting trail this weekend in NBA Summer League, even though it's without Romeo Langford, underway in Las Vegas. What does Greg Doyle do to keep yourself busy and to find topics to write about with your columns in this dog days of summer, I think you could call them?
I hit the road and find cool stuff, and I think tomorrow, it was going to be today, but something happened on, I couldn't do it today, but tomorrow I'll be at Mount St. Francis in your neck of the woods looking at what they're telling me is the smallest gym in the history of the world and just the coolest little place. And I don't know if the gym is still a gym or if it's now a condominium. I have no idea. But I'm going to go see it tomorrow. I'm meeting a guy named Brother Dennis. Brother
Absolutely.
Dennis is going to show me. I mean, that's pretty cool when your gym is in the hands of a guy named Brother Dennis. And the guy that put me on the phone with Brother Dennis, his name is Brother Randy. So, you know, I don't know if these are monks or Abbey brothers. I don't know. But anyway, I do stuff like that. I got a story in the paper tomorrow. No, Thursday, on a pickup basketball court here in Indianapolis that was home to legends. We may have talked about this last week, and they don't play basketball there anymore, but they're trying to remember it with a sign that says, you know, George McGinnis played here, and all these great players played here, Rick Mount and whatnot. And then on Sunday, and I'm not doing this to tell you, you know, here's my stories. My point is just, how do I stay busy? Well, I find weird stuff like that, and like my story Sunday, really weird. 89-year-old man in a nursing home in Waldron, which is about 10 miles from nothing. And but this guy played football on the same offensive and defensive line with Dick the Bruiser in high school. He batted against Carl Erskine, and he defended three straight Mr. Basketballs and played with a fourth. So,
wow.
I mean, how many people in the world could say that sentence about them? And of those people, how many of them are still alive? I'm thinking the answer to the second question is one, and I got him. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. You are able, and I'm sure it's tips from readers and things like that that help along the way, but you're able to, and willing is the best part, as I always tell you, to go out and cover some of the stuff that's a little off the beating path. NBA Summer League, I know you have been excited about some pickups for the Pacers, and I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of it. I've seen some highlights and things. I'm sure if Romeo was playing, somehow amazingly my schedule would clear a little bit easier so I could watch him in the Celtics play, although I do want to talk about the Celtics Summer League team in just a moment. But I did see that Vic Oladipo made an appearance, and in typical Vic fashion, he comes in the side. I don't know if you saw this clip or not, or saw it. I don't know if it was live during the game. This may have been a Twitter video that I think a reporter from Media Row there put up. But he comes in the side in typical Victor fashion. He talks to a couple people. He walks in front of the Pacers bench where the coaches are at. They stand up to kind of, hey, great to see you, shake your hand sort of thing. And what's he do? As they're like putting their arm out to shake his hand, he like reaches around and gives him a big bear hug in great Oladipo fashion.
Yeah, when Oladipo shows up somewhere, you know. And there's a lot of people that do that. You know, they make their presence known wherever they go. And some of those people do it, and they do it kind of for kind of arrogant, self-centered, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm here reasons. And that's not him. He's joyful, and people notice. When a joyful person walks in the room, we all notice. Sometimes it's because that joyful person is singing, or sometimes it's just because he carries himself like a, you know, 90-watt light bulb. But that's what Vic does. He brings joy where he goes, and people are happy to see him. It's one of the big reasons why folks like Malcolm Brogdon want to come play for the Pacers, because they want to play with that guy. I mean, he's not LeBron James. He hasn't gone to 9 straight conference finals or any of that stuff. But he's a guy that players really, because they know, players know what's going on, and they know who's who and what's what. I'm kind of surprised anybody wants to play with Kyrie Irving, given all that. But they know who's who, and they know what Victor Oladipo is. And what he is really, I call him this in my stories, and it's what he is. He's a servant leader. He's a leader, but he's a leader who also wants to serve others. And you don't find many of those. You damn sure don't find them in the NBA.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. He's with us today, with us on Tuesdays every week here on the program. I mentioned that Romeo still not in action with the Celtics in the Summer League. Doesn't look like that is going to happen. But I've still been kind of watching him out of the corner of my eye, at least, to see how the other draft picks and some of the young players that he likely will be playing with at some point over the next few years are doing. They're 2-0. They won again yesterday. And Adam Himmelsbach, who is from our area, or at one point worked in our area at the Courier-Journal, now the beat writer for the Boston Globe covering the Celtics, he tweeted out yesterday that he's hearing the Celtics have been having contract discussions with second-round pick Carson Edwards, looking at a few different concepts related to guarantees, etc., is what he tweeted. Carson has played really well in the Summer League. I think he had 16 points yesterday for Boston, and it's good to hear. I mean, I'm all for Brad Stevens. I'm all for Romeo, obviously. I'm all for Carson Edwards. Any sort of Indiana connection on that team, I think, only makes it a neater situation for all of those guys involved. So to hear that even as a second-round pick, they're getting pretty serious about contract discussions and some guarantees, I think that's a great sign for Carson Edwards. But I'd say Greg Doyle is not surprised to hear any of that.
No, not at all. And do you remember what I told you, gosh, I guess it's been 2 years ago, maybe three, about Yogi Ferrell and why people said he wouldn't play in the league or he wasn't thought to be a pro or whatever. And I said he is, at a minimum, the perfect guard off the bench. Second unit guard, put the ball in his hands, make plays, score points, get buckets. You know, that's what Yogi was and is. And that's Carson only better. And I don't mean to rile up the Purdue IU factions, but, I mean, Carson was a, you know, prolific. I mean, Yogi was great, but Carson's a scorer at a whole different level. In part because Yogi was a creator and is a creator. Carson, he creates for himself, and he's a scorer. He's a bucket getter. So I'm not surprised that we're going to see him in the NBA. I mean, at a minimum, he's the guy that comes in and spells Kimball Walker, second unit point guard, just instant offense, you know, microwave off the bench. At a minimum, that's what he is, at a minimum. And I don't want to undersell him because in 3 years, if he's averaging 25 a game, I don't want to be the guy that said, yeah, he'll be a reserve his whole life. I mean, I don't know. I'm not putting – and he might be a reserve his whole career. I don't know. But I wouldn't put a ceiling on that guy because, I mean, he has a gift that the NBA is looking for, and that gift is scoring the basketball.
Greg, none of us know for sure, but you follow the NBA game and you know a lot about not only obviously the Pacers but some of their opponents as well. And I know have paid a lot of attention to Boston just because of Brad Stevens and more recently, I'm sure, with Romeo Langford being drafted there. But we had another beat writer for the Celtics on yesterday, Tom Westerholm of the Mass Live website publication. And, you know, he's high on Romeo from what he's seen and from the opportunities he's had, as you and I have, to interview Romeo. Was very impressed and really did a nice piece about Romeo and his off-the-court stuff that you and I just have come to expect and know about, all the stories of him visiting a funeral of a young boy whose mother passed away and attending birthday parties of kids in New Albany, just those sorts of things. And he came on yesterday. One thing he said, and I didn't have time or didn't and really did not want to get into a back and forth about this, but he mentioned that he could spend some time, he thought, because of a lot of wing-type players and some forwards on the team, he could spend some time maybe at the G League affiliate of the Celtics for a few games here and there to just simply get playing time. Is that something, and I know you don't maybe know the Celtics roster like you do the Pacers, but would you be surprised to see even Romeo get some G League time just simply to get some more minutes on the court this year?
I'd be surprised because I don't know when the last lottery pick to do that was. That doesn't happen to lottery picks. I think he was the very last lottery pick, but he was still a lottery pick. In whatever the case, he was a high pick. You don't see that. However, he's, you know, everybody's unique and unusual in their own way, and Romeo is too, in that he's coming off the surgery that's keeping him out of summer league, and he needs minutes and whatnot, and maybe just for a simple matter of the rust, maybe they don't want to bring him off the bench for 7 minutes a game for his first 2 or 3 weeks as a pro. Maybe they'd like him to play. You know, it's like having a really good baseball player. Do you put him on your major league bench and let him pinch hit 3 times a week? Or if you're trying to develop him, send him to AAA and let him go hit, you know, get 4 at-bats a night for 3 weeks and then call him up. So get him in a rhythm. So having said all that, no, I mean, it wouldn't stun me if he goes to the G League. But it's not because, well, he's just not good enough. That's not what it is. What it is he's the surgery on the thumb, and he's trying to, apparently we'll see, but I think they say he's going to redo his shot or at least iron out whatever kink that people say he has. I'm not good enough. No, I didn't see it, but. Anyway, doesn't surprise me. It's a weird deal, but Romeo's, I mean, he's got a different situation than everybody else.
Talking to Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment each week presented by Coffee Crossing. Last subject, I know we're running late and you're on the move. Recruiting period. This is really the only one this coming weekend that's normal for the coaches. The high school stuff back in June was new. The stuff later in the month, it's not Vegas, it's not the normal stops, it's NCAA Academy camps on the campuses of 4 different colleges across the country, and there's still a lot of concern about are some of the good players even going to attend those camps. So this is the one weekend where it's the Peach Jam, it's the Under Armour and Adidas Finals, it's the normalcy, I guess, to this crazy July period, which is now vastly, vastly changed. IU also down a coach this year, but I guess my question to you is, you know, July and the recruiting stuff and all the changes to the NCAA calendar, we've broached some of this before, but do you think it's a bit of a tragedy that the coaches are no longer able to attend the shoe sponsored stuff. Three weekends, it's down to one because they say such great players. It's team oriented basketball. They're playing for a big championship with the shoe company that they represent, and you've taken that away from us. Or do you applaud the NCAA for attempting to make some changes and come up with their own camps and kind of in one sense put their own money where their mouth is and invest something into this, which they're doing in a big way later this month with these NCAA academies?
Yeah, I applaud for sure, simply because this is a phrase I use a lot. It's Einstein's insanity to not try something different, because that the whole model, the recruiting model, is broken. You said the word tragedy, I think, earlier. The tragedy is what is high school basketball recruiting and football recruiting. It's not a whole lot cleaner, but it is a little bit cleaner, I think. High school basketball recruiting is a tragedy. It's a travesty. It's a snake pit. It sucks. When I walk into these high school gyms, I don't do it very often anymore, but when I walk into a recruiting gym, I don't mean like New Albany's playing Jeffersonville. I don't mean that gym. I mean when I walk into a Peach Jam type gym, my skin crawls. Like, I don't want to be there. It actually depresses me. I don't want to watch 40 coaches up there with their notebooks or not their notebooks sitting up there watching 150 teenagers playing basketball. Every last teenager thinking he's going to be in the NBA someday, and of those 40 coaches, no telling how many of them already know they've cheated. They already know there's a kid out there, and he's coming my way because his grandma's got about $10,000 coming. The whole thing sucks. Anything different is fine by me, because the old model and every model they've ever had didn't work.
Greg,
blow the whole damn thing up.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Have you been to the Summer League? I'm sure at some point you've been to the Vegas Summer League.
I've never been to Vegas, period.
Wow.
Yeah, never. It's that might be, I'm not the most sophisticated traveler in this country, but that's one of the few big-time sports cities. Like, if you're a city with more than one pro franchise, I've probably been to you'd think. I mean, as old as I am. But anyway, no, never been to Vegas, and I need to get there, but not because I want to see the crap. I want to get there for a UFC fight, nothing else.
Absolutely, absolutely. Greg, thanks for coming on with us. Sorry I'm running a bit late today. I hope I didn't mess up your schedule. We'll talk with you again next week.
Not at all, Matt. I'm mobile and moving good. So anyway, thanks. Talk to you next week.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing, Highway 311 in Sellersburg. It's temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing Sellersburg still open and brewing great coffee on a daily basis, so make sure you check them out. They are the people that bring us Greg Doyle every Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We'll dig into the recruiting stuff more. We'll talk about who's going to be filling a temporary vacancy, at least, on a temporary basis, I should say. Who's going to be filling that open spot when the live period begins here later this week for coaches to be on the road? With Ed Schilling gone, you would suspect Archie Miller will bump someone up, at least temporarily, to be able to be a warm body that's out on the road that can make an appearance and watch some players and make some evaluations. So we'll talk about that, where the coaches will be, where some of the top players will be, and we continue to prioritize 2020 players and even maybe 2021 a little bit as we get further and further into their recruiting processes. We'll do that next with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram, Pegs himself of the Pegs.com website, always with us. And if it's July, Mike and I are going to be talking basketball recruiting and what's going on this weekend. Mike, it's really only the normal period for coaches that they're used to. Everything else in June with the high school events, the scholastic stuff, as it was officially termed by the NCAA, and then everything later in July after this weekend, the NCAA Academy camps are all kind of new territory. This is the only thing that made it was the one weekend in the middle of July.
Yeah, this would be a fairly normal week, 4-day period ahead, and then we have no coaches out the middle of the month, and then this, you know, campus camps, four of them across the country, kind of highlight the last of July, and it's, yeah, those two of the last 3 weeks are different than we've experienced for quite a long time now.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is with us. Talk about where you expect IU coaches to be at. I mean, some of it's obvious. Some of it we've mentioned, the Peach Jam, the Adidas stuff. Their finals are this weekend as well. But give us some of the details on where you expect IU coaches to spend the most of their time.
Well, the Augusta, Georgia area will be a big part of it. And then Birmingham, Alabama will be another area. Augusta, Georgia area is where the Peach Jam is at. It's also where the Nike Peach Invitational is. That's where teams who didn't make the Peach Jam play that were on the EYBL circuit, that Nike circuit, and big target for Indiana is, you know, going to be there. So Matt Cross from Boston area. So and that he might be the guy that Indiana gives quite a bit of attention to, our highest priority this month. And in Birmingham, you have the Indiana duo of Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal playing together, and some other top prospects, including Christian Lander, Trey Kaufman, and a lot of that 2021 talent will be in Alabama. So it's going to be a really good two events, and then some of the coaches will probably go to the Under Armour event in the Atlanta area to see some of the young talent, including Blake Wesley from South Bend. He's turned into a really high priority, I think, for some of the Big Ten schools like IU and Purdue.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is with us, and always with us Tuesdays. We talk IU basketball and more in this segment. We know Archie Miller will be on the road. We know the assistants there will be on the road as well. But there's an opening, and we want to talk some about that today. But I want to start talking about Ed Schilling's opening, with him leaving the program a week and a half or so ago, as to who will fill that spot as far as being on the road. You could bump a staff person up, someone like Derek Elston or someone else on staff that Coach Miller feels strong in, putting him out on the road representing the program. Do you expect that to happen? Do you expect somebody to get a temporary bump to be able to go on the road this weekend, or do you think Indiana will just keep it with the assistants that they've got currently on staff?
No, they'll have the full allotment of guys out. And Bill Colmar is the one guy that did it actually in June, that last period of June after the news was announced on Ed Schilling. And he is a guy who has Division I assistant experience. He's kind of their guru, more of like a super director of basketball ops, you know, assistant athletic director for basketball administration. But once again, he's an assistant coaching kind of guy in his background and really experienced with Archie, and he was in Chicago looking at some of the prospects that Indiana's interested in there. So I would suspect he'll be the guy. I actually don't know, because they have multiple guys that have been certified on the staff to go out and be a face in front of prospects, and you know, so they're covered, you know, Bill Colmar is the most likely guy to be out.
Talking to Mike Pegram of Peaks.com about the recruiting periods this coming weekend, or this weekend, for coaches to be out at. You kind of highlighted as well where some of the top prospects of Indiana targets, you could say, are at this weekend. So we have an idea where the coaches could be. We have an idea where the players could be. Is the Nike EYBL or the Adidas side of things, does either one of those have kind of, have they claimed having the most talent? I know each year there's kind of been a battle who has the most talented group of players. I think the Nike EYBL has won that, if you are keeping score, as far as the better players, the top, more top-ranked players. But it's been, you know, both – there's plenty of good players to go around. Both have been good. Who could claim that this year? Do you have an idea?
Well, Matt, it's pretty consistently been Nike for a while that they've had sometimes as much as 2/3 of the top players, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's where they are this year. Though Adidas had a little bit of a bounce back, I think, last year because of the the investigation with Adidas being linked into the college basketball corruption. They lost some of their swagger, and Under Armour hasn't been as good as it was a few years ago, and that's all meant that Nike YBL has gotten even stronger. So that is where the, you know, I would say, again, about two-thirds of the talent of top 100 kind of level players will be.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is our guest. Let's talk a little more about the assistant coaching position that's open. I've seen a number of lists of names out there. Some of them, I'm sure, are just shots in the dark that make sense, and others there could be some realistic, I guess, potential for it. But do you have any kind of list of three or four or five or more names that you think could maybe be a list from which Archie Miller could choose one of those names, or is it just kind of a point or a shot in the dark, I guess, to come up with any sort of list of targets? I mean, no one has talked to Archie Miller about it, and I'm sure he's not going to give out any indication with some of the specifics of what he's looking for.
No, I don't have a list. I think it's kind of a fruitless thing as opposed to maybe a head coaching search. When you have some more tangible numbers to kind of throw out and results, assistant coaches, especially when you're kind of, I think the focus of this one to be recruiting, is really difficult to kind of come up with a short list, unless there's somebody with an Indiana connection that makes a lot of sense. I don't think that'll be a priority. So, but I do think the person hired will be someone with recruiting, with a really good recruiting resume. He's gotten this guy have gone on to do really good things, and possibly someone else who's had some success in developing players. But I do think that they need somebody that has with a lot of recruiting experience and connections already in place.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. I wanted to ask you about this. Trace Jackson Davis was featured yesterday on a little video clip on the IU men's basketball social media account. And I know a lot of your readers and a lot of what I talk about, we rely on some of the social media stuff to help get you through the off season and know a little bit from the outside of what's going on. But seeing Trace on there yesterday, obviously he's well immersed at the campus in Bloomington and really getting into the summer workout stuff and really trying to perfect his body, I'm sure, and get ready for his first season of Division I basketball at the Big Ten level, which is obviously a big jump from anything else that he's ever played in. Kind of revisiting things, and this is something when he first committed to IU and even through his high school senior year we talked about from time to time, but it's probably the most common question with the team next year. Matt, what do you think Trace Jackson Davis, is he going to start? Is he going to get a lot of playing time? Is he a guy that's going to go pro after 1 or 2 years? And, you know, I think it's kind of a wait-and-see scenario on a lot of that, but I would be surprised if he doesn't play some sort of reasonable key role, reasonable minutes, whether it's a starter or a key reserve for this team. What do you see, Mike?
Yeah, this is kind of one I've asked myself quite a bit, Matt, because Indiana has three clear post players with Trace, Joey Brunk, and Deron Davis, but the game has kind of developed into a one post and four guys, maybe one versatile hybrid four that can shoot the ball and maybe called a stretch four, but those are three pure post guys that really haven't maybe proven to have that stretch outside shot ability. But yet, if Indiana has gotten to the point where they don't have to play at a McDonald's All-American a lot of minutes, then that was a good sign too, but which means I think they'll play Trace a lot. He has really worked hard on his outside shot. He's moves fairly well, and he's got good shot blocking instincts. So I do think he'll find a role, maybe alongside a Brunk or Davis, and get all those minutes, and then maybe play some of the five roles himself at times. He's just too good to keep off the floor. They'll figure something out. Maybe they'll take a sacrifice and not be as, you know, four out and one in as most teams are, but it's just too good, I think, to keep off the floor and maybe make other teams play to Indiana as opposed to IU play into that kind of four and one style.
I was asked this, and I'm going to pass this question along to you as well. When is the last time, and I think I know when it was, but I guess when is the next time Indiana can take advantage of one of these late summer overseas or Canadian trips to get games and practices in? There's an NCAA waiver that allows that to happen. I think it's at every 4 or 5 years. Do you know when Indiana's due up for one next or would be eligible to take one next?
Well, I think they can take one now. I just don't know whether Archie is going to go in that direction. I've never heard that he really wants to take an overseas trip, and I don't want to say he doesn't, but I just never felt like that was a high priority. Who could just think it kind of can burn the team out a little bit? But it's been a while since that Montreal trip that Indiana went, and that was back in the days of Yogi and James Blackman and Troy Williams. So it's been long enough, you know, even if it, I believe it is every 4 years or so. So, but, it, you know, they don't, it's not right now in the plans, but they are eligible to go if they choose that direction.
It's interesting. Some coaches, they do it, I guess, every 4 years, it seems, like clockwork. They want to take advantage of those extra practices and that time and that experience with their team. And then some coaches, you never hear them doing it.
Yeah, that's a good question for Coach Miller, because I don't think we've ever sat him down and asked him about that. But I have heard that might not be something that he wants to do. And, I've seen it work out. I mean, Indiana did that 1 year to Montreal and then ended up winning the Big Ten right after that. And Purdue did it a couple of years ago, went over to Europe and had some even more practices in Nova because they were kind of representing the USA in an event. And they ended up having a pretty big season. But the same token, they faded in the tournament, and they didn't do it this year, and then they had a big run in the tournament. So, you know, there are pros and cons to it.
Gotcha. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, always with us Tuesdays. Mike, thanks for the chat. Where will you and the Pigs team be? I know you'll have some coverage this weekend out at some of the different events.
Jeff Rev Jones will be in Augusta, Georgia. We may have somebody else in Birmingham. Actually, I'm working on that. Unfortunately for me, it's not unfortunately, my daughter's getting married next weekend, so I'm not going to be out like I normally am.
Gotcha. Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah. That's making for an interesting July.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Mike, enjoy the summer. Enjoy your daughter's wedding, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, Matt. Take care.
All right. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, with us on this Tuesday program. Thanks for being with us today. A reminder, check out our podcast. A lot of different ways to catch us. If you miss a show or a segment, we're on SoundCloud. You can download the free SoundCloud app. A pretty easy way to connect with us, or you can just simply log on to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Also, we're an Apple podcast. If that is your thing, just search the Hoosier Report and you can subscribe. You'll get it delivered to your phone or your iPad every afternoon, and you can listen at your leisure. And while you're there on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review if you would. It'll help us reach others that are interested in a podcast, a radio show about Southern Indiana sports and IU sports as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. A little plug that will be at the ballpark one final time tonight for the 12-year-old Major Division Softball District 5 Championship game. Floyd's Knobs, the big favorite. They take on Charlestown tonight. We look forward to that broadcast to wrap up our local coverage of the District 5 tournament. We've had really good numbers and clicks listening to those streams. In fact, last night at a point, the darn stream crashed. There were so many people on there. So glad to know that people are tuning in. That's going to wrap it up for today. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.